This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This day in sports history. It's March 17th, and on this day in 1955, a riot broke out at the Montreal Forum during a game between the Canadiens and the Detroit Red Wings. But it wasn't because of what happened on the ice. The riot was in protest of the Montreal Canadiens' Maurice the Rocket Richard's suspension for the remainder of the season, including the playoffs, by NHL President Clarence Campbell. The announcement of Richard's season-ending suspension had been made the day prior by Campbell, and the incident leading to that decision happened on the 13th. So let's rewind back 4 days. With 4 games left in the regular season, Montreal was in Boston playing the Bruins. At the 14-minute mark of the third period, with the Bruins up 4-2, a fight broke out. Actually, it may be better to call this just an all-out brawl. After a face-off, Richard went after Hal Lako, pushing him to the ice. Lako raised his stick and he grazed the top of Richard's head, causing a gash in his scalp. After a few seconds, Richard realized that he's bleeding from this hit he took from Lako's stick, and he went after Lako again. Before he could get to him, linesman Cliff Thompson grabbed Richard and held him back, but essentially opened Richard up for punches being thrown by Lako. After absorbing a few punches, Richard escaped the hold and landed 2 punches to the face of Thompson, the linesman. After tempers cooled, Richard was taken to a local Boston hospital and treated for the gash on his head, requiring 5 stitches to close the wound. Now, to understand this fight a little more in the context of today's game, there is a well-known Richard quote from after his time on the ice in which he said, "If you know nothing else about the time I played, know about how violent was the game." Richard was summoned to Campbell's office, located in the Sun Life building in Montreal, for a meeting about the incident. Lako was also there. In essence, this was a hearing. Lako told his side of the story and claimed that Richard was coming at him with a 2-handed raised stick before Thompson intervened. After the hearing on the 16th, Commissioner Campbell suspended Richard for the remaining 3 games of the regular season and the playoffs. Richard had been leading the NHL in points that season prior to his suspension, and most certainly would have won it with 3 games to play, a title he had never won and he wanted very badly. Now, to further understand the riot that happened on this night, you have to understand a little bit about the politics going on in Montreal at this time. And apologies, this is a very condensed version, but here you go. Richard was the hero of Montreal. He was a French-Canadian playing in a very proud French-speaking Quebec, but one that was ruled by a wealthy English elite. There was a lot of resentment bubbling at the surface between the ruling English and the French Canadians, who felt like second-class citizens. Now, Campbell was an English war hero who had fined Richard for several incidents already, but had not fined others involved in the same incidents. There were many who believed Campbell's bias against the French in general, and Richard in particular, led to unfair punishment. In fact, prior to all of this, Richard wrote a column in a Montreal paper where he called Campbell a tyrant and said he was running a dictatorship. Campbell stepped in and he stopped Richard from writing any more columns in the newspaper. So now with Campbell issuing this suspension, Detroit was in town to play Montreal. There were protests on the sidewalks and in the streets outside the Forum prior to the game. Campbell, in an act of defiance, decided to go to the game that night and sit amongst the crowd. However, he did not arrive until 5 minutes after the game had started. Campbell was a military man who was never late. His showing up after the game had started brought all of the attention to him as he proudly sat down in his seat. It didn't take long for things to get heated. A few fans had brought tomatoes and they started to throw them at him. One fan got close enough to Campbell to smack him in the face before he could be pulled away by police officers. A fan with a tomato also got close, crushed the tomato in his hand, and then smeared it on Campbell's suit. Then, in the tunnel leading to the locker rooms, a fan released a homemade tear gas canister, and yellow smoke began to fill the arena. The Richard riot was underway, and it spilled out into the streets. The game was called, and the Red Wings were awarded the win. Thousands outside the Forum overturned cars, lit them on fire, windows were broken, and shots were fired in the air. The riot raged for more than 7 hours. Damage to property in the city was estimated to be around $100,000. 33 people were injured, including 8 police officers, and more than 100 were arrested. Some were fined, and more than 60 were indicted. There was a worry that once night fell on the 18th, the riots would start back up. Police pleaded with Richard for help. The Rocket went on the radio asking those around the city to stop rioting and settle down. And they listened, and there was no more violence. He also said he would take his punishment and come back the next year and deliver a Stanley Cup to Montreal. And he was good on his promise, but he didn't deliver just one. Instead, he led the Canadiens to 5 consecutive Stanley Cup titles from 1956 to 1960. Also on this day, in 1897, it was a boxing match between Robert Fitzsimmons and James J. Corbett. Who, you may be asking, but wait a second, this is one of the all-time great fights, and it's known by 2 words, solar plexus. Corbett was the champion at the time after beating John L. Sullivan, that name you know if A, you're a boxing fan, or B, you are a This Dish fan and remember the March 10th edition. But Corbett had gone into a sort of semi-retirement, choosing to act on the stage instead of box in the ring after his win over Sullivan. The other fighter, Fitzsimmons, was called the Blacksmith. And if you've ever said, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, well, you can thank the undersized Fitzsimmons for that line, because he is actually the one who coined it. He stalked Sullivan and demanded that he fight him, and actually got him to put up money to defend the title. But boxing was not legal everywhere in the U.S. at that point. Attempts at fights in Dallas and Hot Springs, Arkansas, fell through because of laws against prize fighting. But finally, they were able to ink a deal to meet on this day in Carson City, Nevada, for a $15,000 purse and a $2,500 side bet between the two fighters for a fight to the finish. So on this day, the pugilists outfitted with gloves took to the ring. Corbett controlled the early rounds. The 6th round was when the fight turned, though. Corbett put Fitzsimmons on the mat, and he stayed down for 6 seconds. But he was able to get back to his feet. And from that point, Fitzsimmons rallied and he turned the tables. In the 14th round, Fitzsimmons absorbed a series of Corbett punches, and then he countered. After one series opened his opponent up, Fitzsimmons landed a blow to Corbett's midsection, aka his solar plexus, putting him on the mat, which he did not recover from. It was the last great fight of the 19th century, and it had come to an end with a new champion. And in 2012, Fabrice Muamba collapsed on the field during an FA Cup quarterfinal match between his Bolton Wanderers and Tottenham Hotspur. While on the field, Muamba received several defib shocks and additional ones on the way to the hospital in the ambulance. His heart had stopped beating on multiple occasions. It wasn't for another 2 days that his heart could beat on its own without medication or stimulation, and his condition began to improve. It would be another month before he was released from the hospital, and only after he had an ICD implanted in his heart. Under advice from his doctors and family, He retired from football in August, having never played another game. And today's non-sports Did You Know? The letter J was the last letter added to the English alphabet. That's all for today. I'll have more tomorrow on This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans.
We've got some exciting news to share with you. Six of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all six of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You got to go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.